KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. President Biden stopping by the Windsor Bar and Restaurant while visiting the town of Dundalk, Ireland.
In a sense, I know why my ancestors and many of your relatives left during the famine. But when you're here, you wonder why anyone would ever want to leave.
Earlier, President Biden spoke in Northern Ireland to mark 25 years of the Good Friday Agreement, the second of two Tennessee lawmakers expelled for taking part in a gun protest has been reinstated. The Shelby County Commission makes Justin Pearson his own replacement.
Too often, the State House has not been a democracy. It's been a mobocracy.
That's a mob rule
that has silenced the voice of the minority.
Amen. Right?
Pearson is now calling for the Tennessee House Speaker to resign. Louisville is holding a vigil in honor of the victims of Monday's bank mass shooting that left five dead. Two victims remain hospitalized. Former President Trump is suing his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. This is ABC News. Inflation is starting to ease, at least according to the latest Consumer Price Index, which rose 5% in March compared to a year ago. That's better than February's 6%. A double whammy, students graduating from college this spring are entering an uncertain workforce thanks to layoffs, bank failures, and worries of a recession. And federal student loan payments are expected to resume. Prosecutors allege fraud at a cargo carrier.
For more than a decade, federal prosecutors said Polar Air Cargo was getting ripped off by a substantial portion of its senior management. The executives accepted millions in kickbacks from the airline's vendors, even maintained secret ownership stakes in those vendors, and made sure the airline gave them favorable business deals. Prosecutors said the fraud touched nearly every aspect of Polar's operations, from selling space on its planes to loading and unloading cargo on the ground. 10 defendants were charged with siphoning $52 million from Polar, and they each now face up to 20 years in prison. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin is under a state of emergency because of a high risk of wildfires. The National Weather Service says unseasonably warm temperatures, gusty winds, and low humidity will continue into Saturday. Governor Evers wants to use some of the state's $7 billion surplus to give unpaid home caregivers tax credits.
People need help, and if it doesn't come from the state government, I'm not sure where it's going to come from. We have the ability to do it. I mean, it's not like we have to go out and borrow money to make this happen.
More on Civic Media's Empowered Caregivers tonight at 7. In sports, the Brewers and Diamondbacks wrap up their series this afternoon. The Bucks begin playoff action at home Sunday. They'll take on either Miami, Toronto, or Chicago. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Which means distant thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we've been running a spot on the Loons, Wendy, and yeah. They have Native American, and it doesn't say it on the commercial, but it's Native American Heritage Month on the 15th, and we're really excited to be partnering with the Loons and maybe go to a football game, but that's what they say in England, but a soccer game. And
soccer, it's becoming very popular.
Well, just because we've been watching Ted Lasso doesn't mean it's popular, Wendy. Come on.
Well, I recommend it, Ted Lasso, to anybody. It's really good.
Right. Hey, Native Roots Radio is heard from coast to coast and around the world. You know who says that?
Who says that?
Casey Kasem. And I thought I'd just throw that out there, too, for us. And we're in the Macho Hodos, a place where they take blue clay from studios here. And we talk about news and things that are really inspiring and also, you know, sad here. And we talk about Native issues and events.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get any further, let's have a discussion with Zoe about what's happening and what we're going to be doing tomorrow. When?
Yeah.
Welcome, Zoe.
Bougie relatives. This is Zoe Allen. I'm a descendant of the White Earth Nation as well as a citizen of the Sichangu Lakota of Rosebud. And today I thought we would just talk a little bit more, Robert and Wendy, about the big report that just came out from the Truth Project pertaining to the U of M and their land grab, acreage, and all of the other, you know, historical things they've done that have oppressed Native people. The list goes on. I think yesterday we weren't able to talk about the U of M's response, but I do have it here. I was going to read it for our audience. And for those that didn't tune in yesterday, Robert and I were just talking about a 554-page report that came out recently, which was published by, I believe, students that are part of a project called the Truth Project. And one of those students is Adriana Goodwin. She's from the Red Lake Nation. And we're hoping to maybe get her on the show to talk about this more because she did really incredible work. And so basically they came up with this report stating all of the offenses that the U of M has done to Dakota and Anishinaabe people and Ho-Chunk people too. We're all here together in Minnesota. and it's really overwhelming. You know, it's overwhelming. They talk about testing that was done on children in Red Lake. They talk about
not that long ago, Zoe. Zoe, not that long ago.
Do you have that year? Do you know the
I thought I said the 1960s, and I was like, I was little in the 1960s when that was happening, and into the early 50s, into the 60s, and that blew my mind when we talked about that a couple days ago.
Yeah, no, that was really, and the fact that there was an outbreak of an infection. Right. And in Red Lake back at that time, and the U of M actually knew that penicillin would change the outcome, you know, would cure the children and the people that were affected, and they didn't, you know, distribute that information to the medical staff or the people trying to take care of the situation in Red Lake. So there's just been like negligence on every front, and you know, Red Lake tribal members have spoken out against this, but before I go any further, let me read the U of M's response to the whole report. So first and foremost, we recognize that the countless hours of work reflected in this report and truth-telling that will benefit us all going forward is built upon the time, effort, and emotional labor of every individual involved. We want to reiterate our appreciation for each of you. In recent years, the university has committed to acknowledging the past and doing the necessary work to begin rebuilding and strengthening relationships with tribal nations and Native people. Openly receiving this report is another step towards honoring that commitment. While documenting the past, the Truth Report also provides guidance as to how the university can solidify lasting relationships with tribes and Indigenous peoples built on respect, open communication, and action. As we engage in the important discussions that will now follow, that guidance will be invaluable.
I hope so. That's kind of an interesting response. What is it, like a response without a response? Is that how that goes?
It's very, yeah, like, does it kind of speaking around the point, right. Using some really nice words. And just to give credit to Red Lake Tribal Secretary Sam Strong, he did comment on this report, and he talked about how, you know, our tribal members were used as test subjects, and that, you know, this is nice, but it's not enough. You know, as Native people, I feel like we're pretty tired of saying that. I think we've been facing that a lot more recently, of these kind of, you know, half empty attempts to rectify, like, I don't even know how many years of genocide, and then how many years of institutions of higher learning using us as test subjects, as you know, people to take land from. So I'm definitely interested to see where this continues to go. I just think I'm not surprised by the U of M's response, honestly. Like, this is very on par with what a lot of institutions would probably say. So it doesn't seem unique in any way, and there's no tangible action that they mentioned that they're going to do. So I guess we'll just continue to watch it. I don't know what you think, Robert.
Yeah, Zoe and Wendy, I think it's really important, one, that this report came out and it was Native-led and traumatic for these people to go deep into the archives of what the University of Minnesota land grab we talked about, also how they treated, even in my lifetime, Native communities that were sick. And I think it's great. NPR, I know the Star Tribune, all these other organizations have been commenting on this, and we can keep commenting on it and doing updates and seeing what's happening, and hopefully it's just not the flavor of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And the U of M does need to apologize, but they need to really apologize, the people who are there now aren't responsible for what happened back in 1960, but if they're aware of it, they need to fix it.
Right. Absolutely. And the land grab too, and acknowledge that would be the first step. And so it's great that we're still talking about, Zoe. And one of the things I wanted to talk about in the first segment too is what Wendy and I are going to be doing tomorrow. And we're going to have a whole segment about this, but we got a couple minutes here. When and what are we going to be doing?
Yeah, tomorrow, Thursday, April 13th at 3:00, we will be at the Minnesota State Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy. Yeah. Yes, we'll hold a committee hearing on Senate File 2062. This is authored by our own very own Minnesota Senate Mary Kunish. And what we want to do is remove recreational wolf hunting and trapping from state law and increase penalties for wolf hunting. Now, we will be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and everybody is welcome to attend. The hearing will take place in room 1150.
3 p.m.
1150, and it'll be at the Minnesota Senate building, and it will include testimony from Maureen Hackett, Dr. Maureen Hackett, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves.
Oh.
Yeah, Jill Fritz of the Humane Society of the United States, and our very own Robert Pilot talking about how wolves and having a wolf hunt, it would affect Native American people and their perspective on this.
Yeah, the big perspective. I mean, we always talk about how there are relatives and how we don't treat our relatives like that. And I always like to say, too, and Wendy will help me with my three-minute talk. Come on down and see us. I always like to say if it was a true sport, the wolves would have a gun, too, and they'd be able to shoot back. But it's not. It's very sad, and there are relatives, and there's no reason to kill these beautiful animals. Mm. Hey, we'll be right back. I think we have Nancy Bolio up today.
Awesome. Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Twin Cities, are you trying to move your side hustle to your main hustle? Having trouble leveling up your back office? Getting stuck on where and how to get money to grow your business? Then you don't want to miss Connect Up Summit Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th at Walder Foundation in St. Paul. Connect Up is a two-day summit offering hands-on workshops and connecting small businesses with each other, local investors, as well as local and national resources to grow your business. You'll get to meet more people in the small business ecosystem in 2 days than would take you 2 years to meet on your own. Connect Up sells out every year, so get your tickets today. Go to connectupmn.org. Follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn to get the latest updates. Again, that's Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th at the Walder Foundation in St. Paul. That's connectupmn.org. connectupmn.org.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Ooh, that was a dramatic pause, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Wendy, let's talk a little bit while we're waiting for Nancy to come on a little bit more about what's happening. We want to invite people to come down there to the Capitol and show
solidarity and support for our Minnesota wolves. We really need to do this. This is tomorrow, Thursday, April 13th at 3 o'clock. It will be in room 1150 of the Minnesota State Building. And it will include testimony from Dr. Maureen Hackett from Howling for Wolves. She is the founder of Howling for Wolves. Jill Fritz of the Humane Society of the United States and Robert Pilot of the Ho-Chunk Nation talking about the Native American perspective on wolf hunting.
You know, I got a message from Nancy and she's not going to come on until 6:30 when, mm-hmm. and maybe we can talk about a little more about our wolves and our relatives. It's also Nancy's birthday, so.
Oh, wow.
She's stuck in a birthday party.
Well,
so
she should be celebrating.
She will be at 6:30. No, she is right now, and that's what she got stuck in a birthday party. So that's, I forgot. I think I wished her happy birthday, but that was this morning, and that was a long, long time ago. And it was only like 70 degrees, and now we have a record here of global warming of 88 degrees here in
St.
Paul.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it really go to 88?
Yes, it's
say?
A record.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
It is.
It was really hot today. I went out for a walk 4.5 miles. It was really too hot for that much walking. But
well, Zoe got a migraine. It was so beautiful out today, right, Zoe?
Yeah, the heat can really get to you.
Zoe. Oh, yeah. You've got to hydrate. Make sure you hydrate, folks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I put some piles of water out there for little animals. So, some filled up the bird baths and put out a little pail of water for whatever else needs water, squirrels or whoever comes around.
Well, and two, we're going to have our hummingbirds show up too, and they're on their way.
They are on their way, and I have a little update on them.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so they are on their way, and let's see here. I read minds. I have to get to my notes, though, but I don't. They'll be here soon. I'll have to find the tracker. But here's the thing, people like to feed the hummingbirds because they love to watch them. They're such incredible birds.
They know me, too.
They're actually the only bird that can fly backwards.
Well, I think that was one of your 500
it was. Yes.
500 fun facts of our sacred animals.
Exactly. So, we want to ask everyone to make your own hummingbird nectar.
Yes.
It's really easy to make. It's 4 cups of boiling water and 1 cup of white granulated sugar. Yeah. Do not use raw organic sugar or any other fancy sugar because most of them contain iron.
Yeah.
And those aren't good for the hummingbirds. So you bring the water to a boil, remove it from the heat, add sugar, stir it really well and let it cool. Don't put any red dye in it.
Just, right.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I never knew, and this is really important because I feel guilty that I may have hurt hummingbirds in the past because I didn't know this, but you need to clean the nectar out every 1 to 3 days.
Really?
And replace the nectar. So you only want to put a little bit of nectar in there. You don't want to fill up that whole, container.
I like the way you say nectar.
Exactly. Yeah. So the important hummingbird information on hot or cold days to maintain the feeders, you have to fill them less or more often. And it's really important. So this is a commitment. If you're going to feed the hummingbirds,
Wendy's talking to me.
You have to be diligent in taking care of it. So, for instance, if it's 70 to 84 degrees, you have to clean it every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 85 to 87 degrees out, you have to take it and clean it every 2 days.
Yeah.
88 to 99, you have to clean it every single day. So the hotter it is, you have to clean it more often. What happens is the sugar ferments and then the little hummingbird's tongue goes in to grab the nectar and it's fermented and it causes their tongue to be like almost concrete.
Oh.
And then they can't use their tongue anymore and then they die. So that's why you have to clean the hummingbird nectar container out very often.
That's kind of hard too because Minnesota, like this week, it's like almost 90 degrees and this weekend it's going to be 50. So I'm going to need that printed out and put by the nectar so I can.
Yeah, and you could make the nectar and keep it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just
drink
use
it
that
once
and then,
in a while.
Just like shake it up.
I don't
drink it.
Well, I'm sweet enough. I don't drink.
But yeah, that's what you want to do. I would love it if people came down to the state capital tomorrow at 3 o'clock to. you know, watch the hearing. This is really important. Right now, the Minnesota wolves are on the Endangered Species Act, but we know what happens in 2022. What happened, one of Trump's last things that he did what he took them off the
national.
Yes, he took them off the endangered species list. And what could happen here if that happens again in Minnesota? There could be a wolf hunt. And you know, if there could be, there will be, because hunters like to kill things.
Right. And that's the whole thing that boggles my mind. You know, our native community, and I have hunted before, but we talk about, you know, using everything from, you know, hoof to tail. And by killing a wolf, you're just doing it for the heck of it.
Trophy hunting.
Unless you want to stuff it and put it in your bar and
the trophy.
And yeah, and it's like, I don't understand that. And I think what's going to be interesting too, I don't think Gen Zers understand that. And they're the next big voting block. And I'm going to mention that at the Capitol too, because we have, you know, issues with gun violence.
Yes.
And yet you're having gun violence come to our state. Because a lot of these hunters aren't from Minnesota, correct?
Yes, they could come from all over and hunt.
Like they did in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bloodbath.
It
in
was
48 hours, they overdid their limit and
Less than 3 days, they killed 218 wolves. That was well over the quota.
Yeah.
We don't want that to happen. And you know what? These hunters come in with their high-powered rifles, their, you know, AR-15s. They use bait. They use calls that mimic wolf pups to lure the wolves into the range where they could be blown to bits.
Right.
They use painful and inhumane snares
and
traps. It's just really a bloodbath. It really is.
And a lot
is.
Of times, too, if you're not into protecting our sacred animals, our own domestic dogs get caught in those snares.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I want to point out another thing, and we've talked about this before, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
A wolf pack works very well together. It's only the breeding male and the breeding female, alpha, those two, that get to mate.
Wow.
That's it, out of the whole pack. So they only have a litter once a year.
Yep.
Now, if the alpha male or alpha female is killed in that wolf pack, it disrupts the whole pack. And then the other wolf pack members are able to mate then and cause more of a larger wolf population, because there's more wolves having litters.
Wow, interesting.
So, yeah, it's
really
scientific.
Wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I should listen to your segments more closely.
Yeah, you should.
Hey, we should ask our official Gen Zer, which and native Gen Zer, because we know about our traditions too. How do you feel about this, Zoe?
Yeah, I mean, I'm grateful to you and Wendy, because I'm definitely learning a lot. I've seen stuff, especially up in White Earth, around protecting wolves, but I never really understood fully the situation at hand and the justification for even hunting wolves, I guess, is like, what is it? I mean, they're killing livestock and hunters and farmers are getting, you know, are losing money on it, or are they just invasive? It's just, there's always like this quick fix that people want for ecosystems when there's something out of whack. If one population of animal is taking over, there's some ecological system that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so this just seems, yeah, I guess maybe this is a simple question, but what historically has been the justification for even, has it been the livestock issue, Wendy? Or
yeah, so the ranchers have a lot of lobbying power in Washington and elsewhere at their state capitals. And they, even though killing livestock is very small in comparison to anything.
Right.
And there's organizations out there, including the Humane Society of the United States, who has programs who will go and give money to the ranchers and set up fencing, set up sound machines,
or pay for their livestock.
And also howling for wolves. will pay for any livestock that's killed, even if it's thought to be killed by a wolf. The rancher just has to let them know that this calf or cow was killed, and Howling for Wolves will give them the money for that particular animal. So hey, there isn't any excuse, really.
We got 30 seconds, Wendy. Just quickly, what they did, I don't know if you ever heard this, Zoe, but we've talked about it many times, what they did in Yellowstone State Park. They reintroduced the wolves after millions or been gone and killed, and reintroduced them, and things started happening
ecologically. Yeah, the elk and moose were there, and they decimated all the land and ate all the vegetation, and it was really desolate there. So they reintroduced the wolves. And it was a beautiful story what happened. So
hey, we'll be
talk about that when we come back.
We'll be right back with the birthday girl, Nancy Bolio. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mary T. of the Mary T. Family of Companies. Our new Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care is a bold reimagining of what assisted living can be. Our emphasis is on creative meals, outdoor walking paths, and a spectrum of restorative therapies and activities. We are founded on a history of care. We are dedicated to enriching lives. Learn more about Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care by visiting MaryTInc.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose all the latest schemes, frauds, and more weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Habitation presents a radio drama. To buy or not to buy, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler to compromise and live with a sectional that doth not fit my space, or to take up arms against a sea of mediocrity and by opposing it, to rest. To be comfortable, to enjoy the space that is my home. Hi, this is Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Design and host of Drink in the Style. I'd like to personally invite you to our new showroom located in the District of Dinah, 7777 Washington Avenue South. Habitation, put some drama into your interior design.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear tonight with a low of 56, then sunshine Thursday with a high of 85.
Warner Stallion has grill savings you can't find at big box warehouses. Score the lowest prices of the year on gas grills, pellet smokers, and griddles. Plus, get 3 boxes of no-name meats and seafood. Then our pros assemble and deliver for free. Only from Warner Stallion.
Ritz Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have young elder Sugarbush Queen on, birthday person, Nancy Bolio from the Deep North on. Happy birthday, Nancy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much for coming on and spending time with us on your birthday. Ho-wah.
Right. I'll do another whole walk because I'm a baby elder now and feeling good about that in a way, Robert, because I'm just so ready to be an elder. I don't know if I have enough knowledge to be the elder though, but I know I walk with a good heart. And, you know, I was just talking to someone about that today. Regardless of how old you are, you know, there should be no fear of walking on, you know, when it's time to take our journey, because if you walk with a good heart, and you live for the good things, age doesn't matter.
That's what I've been saying for the last 20 years. Now that I'm 61, I'm like, I have to believe
soon
that.
To be 62.
Elder in training.
Right. Oh, wow. I think that's where I'm at. And, you know, I'm really fortunate enough to have some, you know, really powerful elders in my corner. And I guess that's kind of, you know, where I'm at right now, where, you know, we're at the Sugar Bush. So again, Monday was actually 3 weeks we've been out there. And for those of those listeners out there that don't know who I am Nancy Bolio from Leech Lake. And I'm the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350 here in the Deep North near, Bemidji, Minnesota, and there's Red Lake Nation, White Earth, and Leech Lake. And so our relatives have been holding space for 3 weeks on Monday, Robert, and we are in the Chippewa National Forest, where they're sometime in the future going to take 600 acres of forest, where the migration story it's really important to that. It's specific to that area. So we're out there trying to save the forest. So it's more than a sugar bush, actually.
Yeah. I see the beautiful pictures that you've been putting up, and getting a little jelly about the sugar.
Hey, Nancy, for our audience that don't know, including myself, could you explain what the sugar bush is?
Yeah, that's the sap that runs from the maple, and it's water, and it's sweet water. And so there's just a certain time of the year when the temperatures are, you know, below freezing at night and then above freezing during the day. And because of climate change, things are really weird this year. But we can make, you know, maple sugar and the syrup, and, you know, there's candy forms too that we can make. And we're out there. We had two boils so far, and we've also done a lot of cultural things as well. I even made a kettle of beaver stew, Robert.
Wendy's grimacing, but I see what you're saying there. Hey, I see you got a Corey Medina shirt on too, and I love him, and I love what he had to say about Honor the Earth and what was happening up there in the Deep North. And he was one of the first artists to speak up and apologize for his working with Honor and not knowing about what's going on. So it's things come out, don't they, Nance?
Right. You know, and for a long time, some people knew, and you know, there's been a culture of not speaking. And I guess, you know, this should be a lesson for all of us that when there is harm within our movement, within our communities, we have that individual responsibility not to, one, create the harm, but if we know about it as a community, we need to call it out. And so I want to, you know, say Chimiigwech to the people that were courageous enough to publicly speak about it. And, you know, it's opened the door for other people to feel safe to talk about it, because again, it was part of the culture, and we weren't allowed to talk about it. And so we have people coming into camp actually that have worked for Honor the Earth that also publicly resigned. And, you know, it's been, you know, kind of hard on all of us. And I think, you know, what we offer in the Sugar Bush is, you know, we follow our teachings, and we take, you know, take care of ourselves, but we take care of each other. And I think people really appreciate the fact that, you know, the Sugar Bush is community, and it's for the people, by the people. And yes, we have great orgs such as Indigenous Environmental Network, Indian Collective. We have MN350. We got some support from Native Roots Radio and some of the tribal support. So, again, it's for the people, by the people, but we couldn't do it without our supporters. And I'm really grateful that people have found a different way to spend the good energy fighting a good fight in the Sugar Bush. So, yeah, it was good to talk about the harm, but it was also even better to talk about the good stuff that we're doing. And we know we can sleep good at night, and that matters the most.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, a great way to segue in how we, I feel like you're supported in your work through MN350, and that's a good thing, because we know 6-7 years ago they didn't have that. They were awfully a white organization, and now they're an organization that's turning BIPOC and really trying, you know. And there's a lot of colonization that's been taught over the years that people don't understand, and they try to come in a good heart, and it sometimes it falls short, and we have to know everybody's healing, but we also have to correct them in a good way.
Right. And, you know, it's never about attacking the person, but it's adjusting the behavior and holding each other accountable. And if people don't want to take accountability to the harm they created, you know, quite honestly, there's no room in any of this movement for them. And again, we have to make sure that everyone feels that they're safe and they're heard and that they belong, you know, without somebody thinking less of them. So what I really appreciate about camp is we're all equal out there, and our elders and our treaty keepers and our spiritual leaders, they lead the way. And then, you know, people like myself, we're there to learn, and we're there to help make that space happen. And we're also there to watch for the things that aren't working too well and making right of it. So I'm feeling good about who we are, Robert. And I think everyone needs to learn from what Honor the Earth has done. And it's not okay, you know, to say sorry after the fact. And it's not okay to have excuses or, you know, gaslight the harm that you created. And there could have been a better way. But what we do now is pray that they learn from this and that they get back to those seven teachings. Because again, Robert, we're supposed to walk with good hearts and uplift each other and not create those kind of harms.
Yes. So, well said. And I think, you know, it always comes out in the wash things. The truth always rears its head when, no matter what. And I think this is part of the case, because it's been going on for a long time with Honor. And also, you know, there's been denials and denials on denials, and you know, basically Honor got me too'd, you know, and that's a thing.
Right. And, you know, it's not just like, you know, within the orgs, you know, the network, you know, in that space. It's also here in Indian country. You know, I'm part of the 1855 Treaty Authority. I go to every meeting they have, and Winona is there too. So we're trying to figure out here, you know, at the root of where these problems are here in northern Minnesota, how do we deal with an Indian country without these orgs, you know, stepping in to say, hey, you know what, we do have a relationship with them, we're not sure how we're going to move forward. In the meantime, you know, just step back and don't say nothing. You know, that's not how we do it in Indian country. We need to take that community responsibility and making sure that everyone is safe, and that includes every you know, meeting we might attend or whatever event it is. But, you know, Robert, again, you know, at the Sugar Bush, we decided, you know, prior to showing up to the Sugar Bush that we didn't need Under the Earth support. Winona did offer it at an 1855 meeting, and we felt we had to follow our hearts and say no and make sure that the people that were with us were always going to be in a good place. And so, yeah, we stood our ground at the 55 meeting, and I can't thank ourselves enough to say, you know, we do care enough about the people, you know, Robert, to make sure that they're safe. And I even cook beaver stew for the people I love. So CAP has been a great place.
Well, Nancy, we don't want to, we only got like a couple minutes here. We don't want to keep you as a newly young elder longer on, but we on your birthday, but we really feel blessed and honored that you can spend some time with us on your birthday. And I don't know, it's 88 degrees down here in St. Paul. I don't know how hot it is up there. And I know you're in your car, so I don't know. Are you hot right now?
Robert, but it's like
I think we lost.
We lost Nancy.
The temperature's reading 59 degrees. So
we can't hear you, Nancy. There's something happening.
Nancy, I think something happened to your phone when you flipped it over to see what the temperature was. But we want to wish you a happy birthday and thank you so much for coming on this special day. And live long, young elder. And that's a Okay, Nance, we'll be seeing you. Have a good night.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Ho, that was Nancy Bolio, a young elder up there, Wendy.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's doing good work.
Exactly. On her birthday, and so we were truly blessed to have her on for that, Wendy. Mm. So any thoughts? I mean, we have talked about and reported about Honor the Earth, but I think Nancy really came off mm-hmm. with a lot of classy responses to what's going on up there and across Turtle Island.
Yeah, I just think it's really important for any organization to really have good HR and to really take serious what victims have to say and to investigate and look into it and mm-hmm. to make sure that you're covering your bases and you're calling out the people who are the perpetrators. We have to do that.
Yes, we do. And it's a thing that's not going away, and we don't want to hide and talk and not talk about it because, you know, we've had Honor the Earth on, and we've had Winona on a lot of times, and we did not know, like mm-hmm. a lot of people, that this was still going on and that this was a thing. So, it's a hard deal in Indian country, but we'll all survive if the truth, we talk mm-hmm. about the truth and be truth tellers.
Exactly.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Wendy and I, speaking about more wolf things and whatever comes to your mind. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! I was looking for, there's so many things on here now. I was looking for this, Wendy.
Yeah, the wolf. Howl!
Exactly. Yeah, and then we had the soccer team, Minnesota soccer team, advertising on the show, and they had a howl at the end, too.
That was a loon.
Oh.
That was a loon howl. There you go.
Thank you.
Very close.
Hey, Wendy, let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing tomorrow and then jump into some more groovy.
Yes, once again, quickly, this Thursday, which is tomorrow, April 13th at 3 o'clock, we will be at the Minnesota State Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy, and they'll hold a committee hearing on Senate File 2062. And this was authored by our very own Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish, who's on every Friday. So thank you once again, Mary, for doing that. We really appreciate it. Everyone is welcome to attend the hearing. It'll take place in room 1150 of the Minnesota Senate building, and you'll hear testimony from many people, and it's going to be great if you could come down just to show your solidarity and support, and we really appreciate it if you could do that.
Yeah, really, that would be
be awesome, cool. Right? So we'll be there. But before then, we were talking about hummingbirds and how important it is to, you know, clean out their nectar bowl. It is. And I just looked it up. Because hummingbirds begin to arrive in late April or early May, the State Department of Natural Resources, that's in Minnesota here, the State Department of Natural Resources recommends hanging your hummingbird feeder in Minnesota no later than May 1st. And doing so will also help warblers and Baltimore Orioles, not the baseball team, but the Orioles, which may arrive earlier in the season and also feed on nectar. So I'm going to get that ready and cleaned and boil up some water and the sugar.
And I'll be on it, too.
Yeah. You know, it's making me sad that I've been hearing a lot of people who go to a shelter or adopt a dog from a rescue and then return them right away. I've been seeing that a lot on my social media feed, and I just want people to know that, you know, people really need but the dogs need to just decompress when they meet you. They don't know what's happening to them, and they're going into a new home where they're not familiar, and they need time to decompress. So they might be doing things that they normally wouldn't do. But this is just like a general type of thing, that a guideline. Let's just say it's a guideline. So 3 days, the dog's feeling overwhelmed and unsure about what's happening and what's going on. They may be easily spooked and feel afraid or hide from you because they don't know yet that you're their people.
Right.
And they might not want to eat or they may not want to drink in those first 3 days. I remember when we got our dogs, Wanda, Gracie, and Emma, we would let them out in the backyard and we'd call them and they'd go run and hide under the bush because they didn't know that we were their people.
Wow.
You know, it takes a little while. 3 weeks, the dog will be starting, and a cat too, starting to settle in and get comfortable, getting into the routine of the house and the people who live there, who's going where and who's going what. And mm-hmm. the dog will get used to that. And they're starting to let their guard down slowly every single day. Mm. So that's 3 weeks. So 3 months. It takes really 3 months. Finally, comfortable in their new home. They're building trust and forming a bond with you. Complete sense of security in their new home and routine. So the dogs will get used to your routine.
Yeah. It took about 3 months with we got three dogs from one family.
Yep.
A person had passed away. Yep. And we were looking because our dogs passed away mm-hmm. a year before, and they were a bonded pair that we had to take both, and mm-hmm. we had no problem with that. And then we found out there was a third one, and yep. we took the third one. But I'll tell you, it was a lot harder than having two dogs. Three was where's the other dog? Especially if they weren't yours. And it's like you one of them might have escaped, and you hear them barking from a distance, and then they're like locked into the bathroom, and you're just going, what's going on? But then things settled down.
Yeah, and I was just talking to you. I don't know if I've said this on the radio, but we were just talking that I read a story about a dog that was in the shelter for a whole year. Wow. Could you imagine the dog in the shelter for a whole year? And of course, the volunteers are great there, and they're, you know, walking the dog and giving him or her the most attention that they possibly can. But the dog lived in the shelter for a whole year. But then finally, the dog was adopted, and the dog went to live in his or her forever home. Wow. And then a couple of days later, the dog escaped and went back to the shelter because that's what the dog knew. You know, mm-hmm. the dog was comfortable there in the routine and knew he was going to get fed, and he liked the staff there. So he went back to the shelter. So I think that's crazy.
Must have had more walks or something.
Who knows? Did you know, Robert, a single dragonfly can eat 30 to hundreds of mosquitoes per day.
Well, how long does a dragonfly live? I thought they only lived like one day.
Well, I don't know, but if they eat hundreds of mosquitoes in a day, they could eat. That's amazing.
We need more dragonflies.
We need to extend
their lives.
We really do. Absolutely. We need to extend their lives. An owl can eat 1,000 rodents.
We don't like talking about owls, remember?
Oh, I'd like to talk about owls. I do.
Okay.
And here's another thing. You know, people, since it's so nice here in Minnesota, and it might be nice elsewhere in the United States.
We don't care.
But people are getting antsy. I know I was getting antsy today that I really wanted to get out there and start raking and cleaning up and moving things around. But here's the thing. You can't do it. You can't do it. Please wait until the consistent temperatures are over 50 degrees. So that's the lows also. So I know we say no more May, but that might not really be correct because it's really about the temperature. We want the temperatures to be consistently over at least 50 degrees.
Well, we don't have much to mow, and I'm not going to mow in June either.
No, I know.
We just have the boulevard there, and
exactly.
I think you'll be growing some stuff on there this year, hopefully.
But we have all these little pollinators. We have bees and all other pollinator-type insects living inside under leaves and in twigs and, like, living there now. And if you start raking and shoveling them up and throwing them in the garbage, they're all going to die. And we need our pollinators.
Yeah, we do.
We definitely need our pollinators. Another thing is people, dandelions. Dandelions are actually really, really good. And they're actually the pollinators' first food.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get rid of them. And please don't put
Weed eater
and all these repellents on these dandelions, because what will happen is the bees will go try to get the nectar mm-hmm. from the dandelion, and then the bee will die.
Yeah.
So we really need to keep, our area. And
what happens when the bees die?
We do.
That's right.
We really need our bees and our pollinators, all of them. So
Santina said that fruit flies live only one day.
Wow, fruit flies only
that's
live
good.
One day. That's really sad.
That's good because come out of nowhere. And they're
they
in
come
the house
when you have fruit.
Their house in December.
Like, where do they come from? Do
it's
they come
30 from below fruit? Outside, and I got a fruit fly in my office. What
exactly,
the
I know, I know. So the weather's getting nicer, but it will be getting cold again, and not over 50 degrees. So just hold off on the raking and cleaning up for spring.
Hey, so what are we going to do again tomorrow?
Tomorrow we will be April 13th at 3 o'clock at the Minnesota State Committee, room 1150. Join us for testimony to help save our Minnesota wolves.
Bring some posters and some resist shirts, and there you go. I'll be honored to be there, and with your help, Wendy, I'll be coherent.
I hope so. Yes.
She hopes so. All right. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio. Thank you, Nancy.
Happy birthday.
Exactly. And Zoe and Wendy, of course, thank you for everything. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now, and protect ICWA. We'll be back tomorrow.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
ABC News, I'm Lionel.